The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. The Explorers podcast is sponsored by RM Capital, a provider of specialist, small to mid-cap corporate advisory and boutique wealth management services. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perrow columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Now, the fall in the gold price to below US $1,800 an ounce has put the pressure on gold equities in recent months. That is despite a 72-cent dollar, meaning that the Aussie gold price of $2,430 an ounce is as good as the industry could really hope for. On that basis, Garen Perrow reckons that the sell-off in gold equities is good news in that value has returned to the sector. So watch out for value investing in coming months, with or without gold getting back to over $1,800 an ounce. Now, against that backdrop, it will be companies with an active exploration program and the potential to add ounces to their story in the near term that can be expected to do best. We've got one of those today. It's the WA Gold Explorer Gateway Mining. It trades under the code GML or Golf Mike Lima. It last traded at 1.4 cents for a market cap of 27 million. The company is focused on its Gidji project in the Middle Murchison region of WA, where it has a 240,000-ounce existing resource across a couple of deposits, with plans to upgrade that number before the year is out, as well as adding in maiden resource estimates for other deposits in the project area. It also has a swag of AC drilling samples in the lab, which will firm up the next generation of targets for the company. Now, we've got Gateway's Managing Director, Mark Cossum, with us today. G'day, Mark. Welcome to the podcast.
G'day, Barry. Thanks. Thanks for this.
Mark, it'd be great if we could start out perhaps, I know Gateway's been around a while. I think you've been MD for a while, so it'd be great if you could give listeners a bit of a feel for your professional background up to this point.
I'm a geologist by profession, Barry, and pretty much spent the majority of the last 25 years involved in the gold industry and in WA mainly. I've been with Gateway since about this time in 2019, so just on 2 years. But prior to that, spent about 9 years at Doré Minerals, which is a pretty exciting time. Was part of the team almost from the very beginning when there was only three of us, and then grew it into found a couple of gold mines, built them, and then with the takeover of Silver Lake back in 2019. Prior to Doré, I was with one of the big South African miners, Harmony Gold, for about 10 years. Right. And that was majority in Kalgoorlie, South Cow Mines here in Kalgoorlie, and then spent a couple of years up in PNG as well, flying around in helicopters up there and working on some pretty big deposits. So that was good experience.
And survived to tell the tale.
Yeah, no, there were some hairy stories from up there. But, definitely gave me some perspective and really made me appreciate coming back to the WA exploration scene and the WA gold industry, which is, you know, just fantastic. So, yep, come back and loved it ever since.
It'd be great if you could give listeners a bit of a background on the Gidji project. It's had production history in the 90s, I think, and that pathway that led up to that initial resource base of 240,000 ounces across the Montague and Whistler deposits. And while along that sort of line, the company mentions this cracking of the code in regards to the Montague Granodiorite Dome. And if you could just explain what the company means by that.
Yeah, sure. The Gidji project, Gateway sort of had a bit of an involvement there over the last 15-odd years, but really it was a few tenements that Gateway was an East Coast-focused company. I had most of its projects, Queensland, New South Wales and Gidji. These tenements were like the token WA project, if you like. But a major change sort of occurred about 3 years ago. The company was reset and refocused on WA gold exploration, and the opportunity was seen for these Gidji tenements, and there was a chance there to expand that land holding, and that's what occurred. And really the other projects that were in Gateway at the time have been divested over of the last couple of years, and now our sole focus is on Gidji, where we've got about 1,000 square kilometres of tenure covering the Gum Creek Greenstone Belt. And our ground, you know, really, it was mined, as you mentioned, back, there was an area mined back in the late 1980s, early 1990s by Herald Resources. There was five little open pits mined there, mainly oxide pits, and those pits were focused on pretty much where the old workings were. And so Herald mined there for a few years, pulled out 150,000 ounces, and then moved on down to sandstone. And really nothing much has happened since then at Gidji, to be honest. There's most of the exploration that occurred was, you know, sort of drilling under the old pits and the like. And as I mentioned, when Gateway reset itself in 2017, it come back and saw the opportunity at Gidji there, and that there was a real juicy part of WA's goldfields to be explored, and an opportunity that you know doesn't come around that often these days. So at Montague itself, the majority of those all those open pits that were mined previously are around the margin of this Montague granodiorite, as you mentioned before, and this is a bit of a typical WA goldfields geological setting, if you like, with this granodiorite intrusion and gold forming on the margin. But really what we saw over the last couple of years is that all this exploration around the old pits, but it was part of a bigger system. These deposits, you know, it wasn't just coincidence, they were all on the margin, and there was a real opportunity there to explore it systematically. And that's what we've been doing over the last 2 years, and that's starting to explore further around the margin, away from these old open pits, as well as the resources that are underneath a couple of them, Whistler and Montague Boulder. That's where the 240,000 ounces we have now sits. But we saw this opportunity. The geology was continuous. The host structures were continuous, and it was really just a matter of putting drill holes in the ground, and that's what we've been doing. And you know, over the last 12 to 18 months, we've had a lot of exciting results and found some discoveries away from these historic mined areas, and have been trying to sort of advance them and bring them into our resource statement.
Now, the company has alerted the market to the fact that you're preparing a resource estimate updates for the two existing deposits and another three, Evermore, Achilles North and Airport.
Yeah, that's right. So we've completed about 5,000 metres of RC drilling at Montague Boulder, and that was really to firm up some of the higher grade areas of that resource and extend it along strike and a little bit at depth. So we're updating that resource, and we've also generated a bit of new data at Whistler as well. So those two existing resources will be updated. But we're also, as you mentioned, completing maiden resource estimates on these new discoveries. So Evermore, which is a pretty exciting discovery from our point of view, in that we had a theory that the geology of Montague Boulder continued. So we chased it out, and we found Evermore about 1.5 kilometres north of Montague Boulder. Brand new discovery within the same geological setting. So we've completed about 11,000 metres of RC drilling there over the last 12 months. And we're just preparing that maiden resource estimate for Evermore. At Achilles North, that's an oxide deposit along strike of a historic pit that was mined called Rosie. So basically back in 2019, early 2020, Gateway just drilled a long strike from this old pit, and you know, continued to show the mineralization extended. So Achilles North's quite exciting. It's sitting on granted mining lease. It's oxide mineralization. It basically starts almost from surface, just below the transported cover, and so far it's been defined over 400 meters, and we're just at present drilling another 200 metres along strike to the north at Achilles, and we're using that data to complete a maiden resource estimate for this Achilles North. Airport is similar to Achilles. It's an oxide deposit a bit further to south, about a kilometre to the south. It was actually found by some work that Gateway did back in 2002, but the data has just sort of sat there, and we went back through and had a look, and it's shallow, about 20 metres below surface. It's about 150 metres along strike, but it's got some really nice juicy grades there, you know, averaging up over sort of 6-7 grams per ton. So it's a nice little sweetener that we'll add into our overall resource upgrade. As we mentioned before, we're going to announce in the December quarter of this year.
Right, I was just going to ask, so lots to look out for before the year is out. And airport, is there an airport there, or are we talking a dirt strip and a tin shed?
Not even the tin shed, there's the dirt strip, but yeah, so it's trumpeted up to be a bit more than what it is.
Okay, now you just touched on a new program, 4,000 metres, designed to infill Achilles North and the northern extension of Evermore. 3-week program, any idea when you might see results from that flowing through?
I mean, as you know, there's been sort of a bit of press about the current delays in assaying in WA, and we're caught up in that. So you know, we're seeing a little bit of improvement, but the reality is that there's a sort of six to eight week turnaround on those assays. So we're currently in the middle of drilling it. We'll be finished in about a week and a half's time, but we'll be hoping start seeing some results inside sort of 4 to 6 weeks from now. We had an air core program we finished about 4 weeks ago, about 22,000 metres of air core drilling on some slightly earlier stage prospects in the same area within a couple of kilometres of these resources. And we're awaiting those results as well. They should be hopefully coming through in the next week or two.
I was going to ask about that 22,000 metre AC program. Targeting several early stage targets. Plymouth was one that seemed to stand out. It's important, I guess, going forward that you have a next generation of targets.
That's right. That's part of our strategy at Gidji is, you know, we obviously have our resource areas, existing resources and the new ones we're bringing along, but really it's maintaining this pipeline of prospects, this pipeline of deposits that we hope to add to our overall inventory, you know, these sort of stepping stones, if you like, to building the resource base. So we do have to keep making sure we're developing some of the earlier stage targets. So Plymouth, as you mentioned, that sits parallel to Montague Boulder and Evermore. Right. It's about 600 metres to the west of them. It's a soil sampling anomaly. There's basically no drilling out that part of the project. So we've put a series of air core lines across that soil sampling anomaly to see what's going on, and we're eagerly awaiting those results.
It's nature of gold mining in WA that I think a lot of people assume that people go out and explore, either they find a multi-million ounce deposit, single deposit, or they don't. The reality is that it's more often than not, the pathway you're going down here, that you come up with a collection, an array of deposits, and then you think about a central standalone milling option. I was just wondering, what stage are you at in terms of development planning?
I mean, where we are at the moment with those 240,000 ounces of current resources, we're you know, as you mentioned, the nature of the mineralisation at Gidji. Yes, it's part of a big gold system, but really what we're talking about is a series of these deposits as part of that system, and that's what we're working through. We're aiming to keep building that resource base. Ultimately, we want to get the overall project resource base up over 1 million ounces, and really that's our ultimate aim. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep advancing these various stepping stones, as I mentioned before, to keep building towards that overall 1 million ounce resource base. And really that's the point where, you know, if you look at a typical WA gold operation, as you mentioned, most of them operate as a series of satellite mines to a central processing facility, and we see that opportunity at Gidji ultimately to get a significant resource base there, and then look to develop and monetize the deposits.
The company's been very open about inorganic growth opportunities and a willingness to be commercial. What were you trying to tell investors there?
Well, I guess if you look at the general area where we are in that part of WA, there's a number of different owners of various parts of the greenstone belts in that middle part of the Murchison, sort of, you know, north and south of sandstone, and it's in as a general area, it really has been forgotten about for a long time. A lot of activities happened out to the west of us around Meekatharra and Mount Magnet, mm-hmm. with Remelius and Westgold emerging as the dominant landholders out there, and then out to the east of us with Wiluna and then the Bellevue story down and Goldfields Agnew and Lawler's operations. So mm-hmm. where we are is still at a less mature stage in terms of its overall consolidation, and we see opportunity where we've established ourselves as a dominant landowner, and we're building that resource to make ourselves one of the dominant resource bases in that region, and we can really capitalise on other options in the area which we could roll into the overall project that we've already established.
I mentioned the gold price at the start and how it's hit gold equities, but I was wondering, as a future producer, you'd be happy with $2,400 plus Aussie gold?
Absolutely. It's, you know, one of the hard things as a junior explorer, where you're not actually affected immediately by the current gold price, but you're obviously affected by the sentiment of it. Anyone who's been around gold mining in Australia for a while knows that at $2,400 an ounce, I mean, that's a fantastic price for an ounce of gold, and you can do a lot with that. And so, you know, really the style of operation that you see in WA typically, you can make a good margin on those sorts of gold prices, that's for sure.
Now, you've obviously got a bit of work to do to get the updated resource estimates out and the new resource estimates out by the end of the year. I was just wondering what the cash position is like for the company.
At the end of June, we had about $3.6 million in cash. And we also, as part of that divestment strategy that we embarked on to focus ourselves on Gidji, we have accumulated various sort of shareholdings in other ASX-listed explorers, and that's quite a nice little sort of safety net, if you like, we've got behind us. It's currently about $1.5 million worth of shares sitting there as well. So we see, you know, we have the resources to fund our work programs through that we're planning on doing. And, as you mentioned before, we've got the news flow from the resource upgrade, which is, you know, pretty big milestone for us towards the end of the year. But we've got those assays in the lab from the AirCore program, which are going to be coming through soon, and then the assays from this current RC drilling as well. So we see an opportunity there. We've got still have pretty steady news flow coming over the next coming months.
One thing I'd note about the share register is a bit unusual for a company of junior. You've got some Kerry Hermanis is there, and Peter Langworthy, a big investor, two well-known WA mining exploration identities. So although I asked that question about cash, the results, you come up with the results, you've got a good shareholder base there to bring in more funds when required.
Oh, absolutely. Our top 20 shareholders control about 40% of our register, and they've been extremely supportive over the last number of years. A lot of them, including Kerry and Peter, were instrumental in that reset of the company that I mentioned back in sort of 2018, and our top 20 has been really stable. And you know, we've always, when we've needed to, you know, those major shareholders have always been really supportive of the company, and when we've gone to raise funds previously. But yeah, they've all bought into the strategy, and they all see the potential in the project.
All right, there we go, folks. Interesting one. Mark, if you could, just bring it all together for us and tell us what investors should be looking out for before the year is over.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, the real opportunity with Gateway, Barry, is that we've got a really significant land holding in this Gum Creek Greenstone Belt, our Gidji project. We've got existing resources, and we've got huge potential to add to that current 240,000 ounce resource base. In the near term, we've got plenty of news flow coming through with AirCore drill results and RC drill results, and this resource upgrade that we've been working on in the December quarter. But beyond that, you know, the project itself, there's a big pipeline of targets that we'll keep working on and systematically exploring that project and keep adding to that resource base over time, and the potential that we have in this project and having this dominant land holding in this part of WA is huge. And that's what we're really excited about, is the continuing exploration and additions to that resource base that we'll see over time.
So there we go, folks, a lightly capitalised WA gold explorer, strategic land holding, resource updates on the way, plus untapped exploration upside. So nice package. So Mark, with that, thanks for your time today and best wishes with it all.
Thanks, Barry. And appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Cheers. This episode of the Explorers Podcast was sponsored by RM Corporate Finance, an active participant in emerging companies around the globe.